Churches are calling it Welcome Home Sunday. Other churches have another moniker for this day, but it's the day where we are excited to share with you areas that you can plug in. You see, being part of a church doesn't mean that we sit in our seat once a week letting somebody up on the stage do it all. No, being part of the family of God means that we come together to find out where we come to find out areas where we can learn to know God, where we can discover freedom in Christ, where we can learn our purpose through Christ, and we can make a difference in Sydney Peninsula and even the world. So I want to thank you, and today I pray that you will be challenged as you hear about what God is doing and the opportunities that God has given us through this church to help you become connected into the body of Christ and to serve Him. A lot of times I hear churches and pastors and leadership ask me, Pastor, what is our purpose? What is our vision? And usually they say, Pastor, what's your vision? What do you want the church to do? Pastor, what is it? What's our priorities to be? And I have preached sermons on that over the years. But throughout the years, I've come to the place in my life where I have learned it's not my purpose, my plan, or my priority for the church that matters. It is praying and seeking God's purpose, God's plan, and God's priority for His church. For when we get aligned with His purpose, with His plan, and follow His priority, then we will experience renewal, revitalization, hope, and blessing, and even growth as we align ourselves with the will and purposes of God. We're going to be looking at three scriptures this morning. I am not going to be long, for Sue is going to be sharing a little bit with some of our ministry leaders. But first of all, I want us to know that God has a purpose for our church. He has a purpose for us to embrace. Have you ever been asked, what church do you go to? What's it all about? And have you struggled with trying to define it? Well, I remember several years ago, shortly after the co-op was built, Pastor Sue was visiting Sleggs to pick up some supplies for Vacation Bible School. She was going to put the supplies on the church account there, and the attendant asked, so what church is this for? So she said, Highway Christian Fellowship. And where is that church? What's it about? And someone behind the other desk overheard the question and said, you know, it's the church behind the co-op. It's the co-op church. I'm still waiting for their tithe. So what are we all about, and what is God's purpose for us? You know, there are many churches that are driven by many things. Some churches are driven by tradition. A tradition church says, favorite phrase is, we've never done it this way. And the goal of tradition-driven churches is simply to perpetuate the past, a preferred past, a past where we remember maybe when we were saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, served in ministry. But that's our tradition, and no one better ever change it. Then there are churches that are driven by personality. This may include the pastor or a board member or even a respected church member. Then there's finances. Some churches are driven by finances, and the first question on everybody's mind at the annual AGM is, how much is it gonna cost? And finances drives the church rather than vision and God's purposes. Aligned with this are buildings. Closely aligned with this, some churches are driven by buildings. We remember when Sister So-and-so was saved at that pew, and we can't move that pew because Sister So-and-so was saved in that pew. We remember. And some churches even have plaques all over the building to remind people, you can't touch the building, it's holy. I am so glad we are not a plaque church. I'm so glad that we're not driven by buildings, finances, personalities, or even tradition. Then there are some churches that are driven by programs, the kids ministry, the youth ministry, the women's ministry, the men's ministry. And we're going to be hearing about some of these even this morning. And all of these ministries are important, even some essential for the church. But the two problems that I find for churches that are driven by programs, number one is competition. Which ministry gets the most focus in the budget? Which ministry is announced first in the bulletin or the communique? And this is how you find out. This is how I find out. Pastor, you forgot to announce. Friends, we can be driven by so many things. But here's the point I want us to understand. Programs, plans, personalities, buildings don't last. Only God's purposes will. And Jesus reveals his purpose and mission of the church. Every Bible-believing, preaching church has been given this mission by Jesus. It's a twofold mission. First of all, found in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 39. In fact, Catherine, I believe, read part of it earlier this morning. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." From the very outset, Jesus says, this is the purpose for the church, for the follower of Christ, is that we place relationship above everything else. First of all, our relationship with Father God through Jesus Christ. And second of all, our relationships with one another. This is so imperative. In fact, I believe that you cannot fully love God without loving your neighbor. Who is our neighbor? God calls us to love our neighbor. Our neighbor is simply people. That's it. God calls us to love people. Young people, old people, green, blue, red, and yellow people. He loves those whose lifestyle is different from ours. He loves those people whose language is different from ours. He loves people. And when we love God, we're going to love him no matter what political stripe they are, no matter if they're rich or poor, young or old, men or women. He loves people, and we need to love people as well, because he wants all people to know him, to find their freedom in Christ, to discover their purpose in God, and to make a difference in this world. Our purpose is to love God and to love people. But there is more. He's given us a mission. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 28, Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The active word here, I want you to understand, is not go. A lot of people, when I ask the question, what is the active verb in this passage? 9 times out of 10, people will say go. But in the Greek translation, it's not the word go that's the active verb. It is make disciples. And what Jesus is telling his followers, what he's telling his church, what he's telling us today, that as you go, make disciples. Not just win souls, but lead people into a living relationship with God. This includes being at school this week, when you're with your friends in the cafeteria. It includes being on the job as you're speaking to people and they're telling you their problems and you're sharing with them how God can change their lives. It means as we're in the grocery store shopping and talking to the clerks, as we go wherever we go, to go and make disciples, to show that we love God and we love people, because that's what discipleship is. Discipleship is not adding numbers to the church. Oh man, did that ever get quiet? No, that's not our purpose. It's great when they do. It's great to have a full church. But that's not our primary purpose. Our primary purpose is loving God and loving people and leading those people to be followers of Jesus. This is what we are called to do, to lead every person in Sydney and the peninsula to become devoted followers of Jesus who love God, love others, and they'll make disciples themselves. That's the purpose. Well, but what about the plan? What about God's plan? God has a plan for us to implement. Now, God's plan, when I talk to people, I usually get one of two reactions. The most common reaction is, oh, we don't have to worry about organization or planning. We just pray and allow the Holy Spirit to do the job. We allow the Holy Spirit to bring people in. I've been studying this week in my devotions. I've just finished reading through the book of Exodus. And now I'm in that glorious, encouraging book of Leviticus. How many of begun your goal of reading through the Bible in a year, you get to Leviticus and you're hoping the rapture comes soon? And I've been praying and going, God, the first half of Exodus was awesome. I mean, the fiery flaming bush, the oceans dividing fire from heaven. I mean, that was so awesome. But then we get into all of the little details about the tabernacle and the high priest and the clothes and the food, and then the Leviticus tells the Israelites how to eat and how to live. And I'm going, Lord, what is your purpose? And then it dawned on me as I was preparing for this message, God is a God of order. He's a God of organization, and he's a God of planning. Did you ever think that the very first meeting in the book of Acts for the church was a business meeting? They came together in Acts chapter 1, and the very first thing they did was have a business meeting where they elected a successor to replace Judas Iscariot. Because God is a God of order and planning. And in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, we have a hint or a picture of the plan that God has set for his church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together. I want to emphasize that. Together. Say that with me. Together. None of these followers of Jesus, and remember, there's more than 3,000 of them in Jerusalem. Peter has preached his premier message. More than 3,000 have gotten saved. So when it talks about the disciples in verse 42, it's the whole 3,000 and more. It says they were devoted. This group was devoted. It means to continue steadfastly. It means they were persistent. They gave adherence to their mission first and foremost. They were engaged in their mission and purpose in their community. The 21st century word to describe this attitude of the early church, I believe, is passion. This was a passionate church. It wasn't just a once a week meeting where they came and sang the same old songs. No, this was a church. They were hungry for God. They were desirous, and they did it together, intentionally and passionately. They gave themselves to worship. They gave themselves to prayer. They gave themselves to the study of God's word. They gave themselves to serving. They gave themselves to generosity. And they did it all together. There's a false doctrine that has seeped through the church ever since COVID. It was existent before COVID, but I've never seen it as more active in these last few years. And the idea is, oh, I can just stay home. I don't need the body of Christ anymore. And COVID did one of two things to people. Number one, it gave people a hunger to want to be together. Or secondly, they said, I can do it on my own. My friends, that is a lie from the pit itself. The enemy is going about like a roaring lion, seeking the lone sheep that it can devour. We need to be together, worshiping together, praying together, serving together. There are five functions that Dr. Luke mentions in Acts chapter 2 that I think are reminiscent for us to emulate today. This is God's plan for us. Number one, some people ask me, Pastor, what's your vision for the church? My vision is encompassed in one word, people. People. That we would be a church, number one, where people can connect. This is the first function that is mentioned. They came together in fellowship together. They were intentional in coming together and connecting. Secondly, they came together to grow. My vision for our church is that we would be a church of where all people can come together and they can safely grow in their faith, no matter at what stage they are. If they're brand new believers, if they're seekers who have yet to give their lives to Christ, or seasoned followers of Jesus, my prayer and vision is that we would be a church with that safe where people can come and grow together through small groups and Bible studies in the Word of God. Thirdly, that we would be a church where people find a place to serve. No church can function without those who faithfully serve God by serving others. Fourthly, that we would be a church of people with a passion to go. This is missions. We are a church that supports missions both here at home and around the world. We're a church that supports and provides opportunities to witness to this community through the Big Give, through our VBS. And we will have other opportunities to share with you how you can be involved in that. But you know what? All of these four aspects are essential. These are four essential aspects of vision. But there's one that is the most important and essential, and that is worship. Worship is the primary reason we are together. It is the fifth function, but it is the central, most essential function. And I am praying that Highway Christian Fellowship will be a church of people from all backgrounds and all nations who will not just grow to know God in community as they connect and go on mission serving Him, but that we will be a people of worship, because everything we do flows from a heart of worship. And I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, well, Pastor, that's great. We were led wonderfully by a wonderful team of worship leaders today, and we are blessed in our church to have 4 worship teams that serve us on a rotational basis. But I want us to understand something. Just because they are standing up here singing some beautiful music does not mean that we're sitting down here doing nothing. No. Did you realize that worship began from the moment you woke up this morning? It began with the very first thoughts that were coming to your mind. Was your very first thought, God, it's Sunday? Or was it, God, it's Sunday? Because that attitude will dictate exactly how you respond and embrace worship. And when you came this morning, you were greeted by Nourish and some wonderful other worship leaders. My friends, our First Impressions team are the entrance to worship into this church. And then in the prayer room, we had our intercessors praying intensely, passionately for our service and for you today. And we had people who are serving in our ad hoc kitchen over here. Don't worry, the kitchen downstairs is coming soon. Hopefully before Jesus does, but it's going to be done soon. Just kidding. And then, of course, our media team, Stephen and Peter, who served so ably. It's all part of worship. And then us. Everyone here, thank you for being part of the worship team this morning. It was awesome. Just awesome. Hallelujah. Everything we do, everything flows from a heart of worship. Worship gives us power to get moving onto God's purpose. It keeps us focused on his purpose, and it keeps us wanting to invite others to join us on the journey of becoming devoted followers of Jesus who love God, love others, and make disciples. The question that we have been asking today, our chief question is, where can you plug in? At this time, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Sue, and she's going to share with us by interviewing some people, and you can hear where you can plug in this morning.
It doesn't help. Oh, it is. Red-green colorblindness is a real thing, and I have it. So this little light doesn't help me at all. It's just like to hear my voice first off. I have a list of some of the leaders. Everyone was kind of given, you're going to be give us a little interview. So if you answer a few questions of what you're doing, what time, what day, what location, and you don't necessarily need to go through your whole itinerary for the next 24 weeks, but we do know that some of the groups have already prepared some amazing outlines and are ready to serve you in the Word. So these are not in any specific order other than I'm just going to go from one side of the room to the other. So George, I'm going to start with you, my friend.
Good morning, George.
Do I need this?
Yes, because we have people who might, anyway.
Can you hear me? Yes. Oh, excellent.
What?
Oh. What? Stop it. Anyway, I got my watch on.
Okay. You're not going to ask me anything. I'm just going to talk.
George. George is leading one of our midweek studies on a Wednesday evening. Where?
I will hand off pamphlets on Sundays, so you'll know exactly what we're doing on Wednesday. And so you can prepare. And on it is the address, the time, date, and even my phone number. So we're handing them out. I'll have some at the back of the church today for Wednesday, this Wednesday as well. And I will just give you a brief itinerary of what we're doing this year. The theme this year is normal Christianity, and that is brought through by learning your identity, leading with integrity, and living intentionally. And this is done through understanding all the different gifts there, the motivational gifts, the ministerial gifts, the manifestational gifts by the Spirit that a lot of us aren't versed in, as well as the fruit of the Spirit, the judgments that you will stand under, the reward system that is there for you. Other thing is your responsibilities as a Christian, your responsibility, your authority, and your accountability before the Lord. just a ton of stuff I have here, from brokenness to wounding to pain, who Jesus is and what he does, who Satan is and what he does, and who you are and what you're supposed to be doing. We have just a ton of lists. I've got a lot of information from different universities and stuff as well as from the Bible College, and have taught this in a seminar before. So I am pleased to have the privilege of doing this now.
Amen. Amen.
Do you know what? We have a good solid plate system of ministries that will help each of us grow in our walk with the Lord. Then there are some ministries. They do that because it's relational, but it also becomes a local thing. Pete Butendyke, Men's Ministries.
Did you have questions for me, or you just want me to talk?
I better have questions for you.
Okay.
Because I know you can talk. And I do too. What nights? We have two men's groups, so if you can give us the outline of the two.
Well, you
do the Monday night, right?
Yeah, I do the Monday. Okay. I know there's a Wednesday. I haven't been to the one on Wednesday, but I hear it's, you know, pretty good.
Okay. I'll come and see you. Don't worry. We'll talk.
And, you know.
Where do you meet?
I actually don't even know on about the Wednesday.
No, Monday.
Oh, Monday. Okay.
Stay the course here.
Okay, Monday we meet at the McDonald's on Mount Newton Crossroads. Yeah. We meet every second Monday at 6:30, and it just is absolutely awesome. We usually have about, you know, anywhere from like 10 to 20 guys almost, right? So it's really, really awesome. Seen some powerful things happen in the group. We have some incredible conversations and discussions, and you know, lives have changed, and I've seen the guys grow like immensely. Like, I just love all the guys that show up. They're just absolutely amazing and a big part of my life, and I can see the guys just love each other too. So,
amen. Amen. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm going to give testimony to that. The men, both groups, were invited for a barbecue last night at our place, and it was just absolutely thrilling just to hear the conversations and how they're challenging each other and encouraging each other and praying for each other. It's kind of like iron sharpening iron, and then they had food. So that was pretty good. That was pretty good. Trevor, self-defense.
The Wednesday morning?
Okay. Well, then I'm now to Shirley, for we have two ladies' Bible studies, and I'll come around to our other, but here you go for a friend.
What time, where, and a bit of an idea of what you're doing.
Okay. We meet, maybe I should go over the front?
Oh, you're good right there.
Okay. We meet on Mondays, starting tomorrow at 10:30 in the library, and with time and what else?
Just said it.
Okay.
Okay,
and we're studying about how different issues are applied in the Bible, and how we can know what God wants us to do through studying the Bible. The different issues that apply to our individual needs and concerns, such as burnout, emotional negative feelings like emotional eating. And we're going to talk about even why prayers are not answered and how to sleep. Just things that the Bible, you don't really think of the Bible as talking about that. But we do that in a very interactive way. We have worship first with a song, and then we delve into the Word and find out what the Word says about what we're studying, and discuss it together, and then we pray for one another and for other needs as they come.
Amen.
And it's the Bible studies, not only do you learn, you get relationship building happening. Because we were hearing it's about people, and we're there for each other. Now, a couple of times a year, Miss Jean, we have a couple functions that the ladies do. If you want to give us an idea of just a couple.
Breakfast. Yes, about twice a year we have a ladies' breakfast, and we try to get a good speaker in. We have lots of food, and we have a good time. We usually have it at Christmas and again in February, although this year the men joined us for the February one. But it worked, sort of. And we totally enjoy it. Thank you.
Excellent. So now, oh, my list. I've got to find my list. There it is. I'm coming around the corner here. Mr. Keith, would you speak to us about the Wednesday morning men's group, please? You were just consigned there by Mr. Trevor, so.
Well, we meet Wednesday morning at 10:30 at Dakota Restaurant, and the conversation starts when someone just brings up a subject. And then we go from there. We have the word come out, and everybody just has a very good time of sharing with each other things that God's working through in their lives. And we have a real good time.
Excellent. Thank you. Mr. Narish, would you speak to us about our first impressions team?
So first impression, I work at the Empress, so I'm trained in the corporate world as a greeter. So every one of you are trained in the corporate world. God trains you in different places. Not everything is trained in the church. So I'm a work at the Empress. My job is to greet people when they're coming in and greet them when they're going out. So first impression and the last impression is very important. And when God brings people to church, God brings. So everyone is very important who step into this church, whether I like it or not. For God, it's very important. So regardless what we think, from the youngest, from the youngest to the oldest, we have to give the same respect. Amen. That's very important. So I am looking for people. We want to increase our greeting team because we have to go through some training, for sure. When you're a greeter, you pay attention to everyone who comes in, and we have to anticipate their needs. Some of them come in the wheelchair, some of them come in the walkers. Your eyes have to always be on the everyone who comes in, even the youngest person. Because God, regardless of who you are, He is watching how you are treating each and everyone in the church. Amen. Right? That is in every family, every company. If you are not doing a good job, if you are doing a great job, then God can bring more people because you are going to take care of them. It's very important for us, right? So regardless of who you are, wherever you are, corporate world, you might be a teacher, might be a doctor, might be a businessman, God is training you somewhere. It's the same thing happened. Can I speak one more minute? Same thing happened to David. Saul was going to war, and God was with him. But all of a sudden, there was a giant came out, and they were scared. They couldn't handle him. Then God has to bring David into the scene. And David used a weapon Saul and his team never used. Right? When David came, King Saul said, "No, wear this. All the armor and everything, put it on him," because they want him to function the way they were functioning. David tried everything, then he's like, no. And Saul said to David, "You are so young." And in the church, we make that in our mind, "You are so young, you are so new." That means in our mind is going like, "You cannot do this. We are better than you." Sometimes this is our mind says, "You are so young. You are only 8 years old. You are only 10 years old. But God can use anyone if you are available to Him. You can, right? So you can bring something new to the church, and God will prepare us to accept you and go, because God is always a God of change, God of generation, God of season, right? So we are looking for people who can greet people. So if you are willing, if you have a heart, once a month, once in 2 months, if you can come here, because we had to increase the people in the front. Then God, once you prepared, God will bring more people. So God is good. If you can't serve Him, get to Him. give your time. It's very important to serve the Lord.
All right. For sure. For sure. Catherine, a ladies' Bible study.
We have two. This?
Yeah. Ladies' evening Bible study was birthed out of the fact that there are some gals that couldn't go to the Monday morning one. So those of us who can meet in the evening, we meet Tuesday evenings, 7 p.m. in the library. And we're so excited to get started again. Right, gals? Yeah. Woohoo! Yeah, we've missed each other. It feels like a drought over the summer. So we're excited to be together again. And we spend time caring for one another and praying for one another and really getting into the nuggets of the Word. You know, the Word is everything we need for life and godliness. Amen. And we are studying the book of James starting next week. And if anyone is looking for practical solutions to daily problems, you need to study the book of James. Yeah, God led me to this book, and I've really been getting into it myself. And you know what it says? Count it all joy. Anybody need to hear that this morning? Count it all joy. So James is giving us practical advice. I mean, just as the early church needed to hear it, we need to hear his advice too. And he knew that hard times bring out the best in Christians. It should, right? And for this reason, James didn't try to soften the impact of the difficulties his readers were facing. Instead, he offered them honest, straightforward answers to their questions. So come, count it all joy.
Amen. We have another care group, Einar. And last but not least, I know you help coordinate the Thursday evening prayer meeting, but you also do a care group. So just the day, the time, where?
Well, today is Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock. The time is Marshall Road, 8972 is the house address. We are going through the book of Revelation with Anne Graham Lotz on a DVD. It takes about half an hour each time, so we have time after that to kind of talk about what we have just heard. And I was really surprised when I heard the beginning of it. I heard most of it, because he went through the seven churches, and I thought to myself, boy, has he been listening to Pastor Ralph before she did this? There are so many similarities. But anyways, and then we have, you know, we have a coffee before we begin and that. And so you are welcome if you want to come. The house is open. And the Thursday night prayer meeting that we have, we haven't had a lot of people coming lately, but my prayer is that there'll be an awakening, that people begin to see what it means when the congregation meets for prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 I think I've gotten to all the main groups. I know Pastor announced Rachel is our church librarian, and she does a great job in there, and she's really anxious. We have a great fictional section for those who like to read that, but we also have a great non-fictional section and a kids section. So please, please, please avail yourself of that. It's kind of a self-checkout approach some days. Put your name on the card, leave the card on the counter, and we can go from there. The unsung heroes of our morning services are our media and sound team. And we actually have two folks who help us with projection right now, and one on sound. And Peter and Stephen and Louisa up here, they capably, ably, willingly serve us regularly so that you don't have to memorize all the words to the songs and stuff, and that the sound comes across well in the building. And I'm putting a plug in, we would love for, if you feel it's an area you'd like to plug into to learn how to work the soundboard or to do some of the media, please let us know. We will connect with those people right away, because they'd be really keen, like really keen to have some folks come in. And honestly, I'm even going to be talking to my youth group about some of these spots as well, too. Because if anybody knows computer stuff really well, it's some of the younger generation for whom it is native. I'm not native to technology. I have a safe word. It's Crayola. If I get confused by it, I say, crayons. Just give me crayons. I can do crayons. I'm good with that. I get to interview myself. Is that the theory, or should I just announce things?
No, now I get to introduce her. Sue serves as our Family Ministries Next Gen and Community Pastor. And try saying that three times really fast. And she does an incredible job, especially as it relates to developing leadership within many of these ministries. But one of the most exciting ministries is our youth on Wednesday nights through Engage and what God's been doing. And we are excited that we're starting up again. So Sue, just share what God's doing
Well, our Engage Youth team, our first official welcome back is this Wednesday coming, September the 11th. I have a leadership team with me that help us out. Roland and Marie Hardy are part of this, as is Mike Wagner. And we all work together to ensure that there is something of value spiritually and activity and building relationship for the teens that come to us on Wednesday evening. About 50% of the teens that come actually come from independent or home school church scenarios. And so we're kind of their big church on a Wednesday night, and we love it. They're an amazing group of kids, and it's an honor and a joy to serve them and to serve their families. Part of this is Roland and Marie have taken on the role of working with them in what we call a jam sessions. And so we actually have jam sessions starting up again in the next week. And we've already had the youth team play for us one Sunday a couple months ago, and they're booked again in October, guys. Just so you know. But that's Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. For the month of September, we will be in the library just because we've got a couple finishing details in the basement yet. And then I'm praying that October 2nd will be our grand reopening of the lounge downstairs. I hear amen from the crowd upstairs. There we go. There we go. Update for our building downstairs. We're just waiting for a couple of kitchen items and some finishing stuff. And then if I know a date before I go on vacation on Wednesday, then I can help get some teams together to get the kitchen put back in place and the rooms cleaned up down there. I would love to be able to say today that we're going to have our fifth Sunday downstairs. I won't know that till this week sometime. So we're praying for that. Pray. God, like every time we have specifically prayed for efficiency for the repairs of the kitchen, it's just like, boom, it happened. So I'm weary of the lingering. So I just like it to get done. I am also thankful for events we have developed as part of our DNA. As a church, a DNA. We go out in our community and we do a couple of things, and we've done them now for 8 or 9 years. And honestly, like, I was getting a pedicure done for my trip and my esthetician. You're part of that church. You guys do this. And I'm like, who are you? Like, I had no idea, right? And they come to the Big Give and they help and they want to volunteer with us next year. We have a couple of once-a-year events that happen, and it just blesses our community. But also for me, it blesses me to see the body of Christ come together and serve Jesus by showing love to their neighbors and to the kids and just giving of ourselves. The Big Give this year, on the day itself, we had 30-plus volunteers. At least 15 of them were from different groups, not part of our church. They are people we have connected with over the years, and they like what we're doing. So guess what? This year, we get to start intentionally speaking Jesus to some of these folks and just say, it's because of what he did for us. It's because we love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbors as ourselves. And there's an equity in there, okay? If you love yourself, if you like being first, if you like being whatever, you want that blessing from God, we are immediately called to share it, to extend it, to live it out in our community. And we don't get to pick and choose to whom we do this. So whoever comes, we're all made in his image, sinner and saint, to coin a phrase. So they're image bearers. Maybe they're not activated yet, but they're image bearers. And we get to be a part of a journey that they may go on. And to me, that's most exciting about the types of events we do. In the first week of October, I have asked one person, and I'm going to ask for a couple of others, to start a, for lack of a better phrase, from our point of view, and we'll call it something when we get it developed. I'm really feeling this year to intentionally, specifically pray into a benevolence committee program. And for us as a group of believers to look at the things going on in our community and where we can bless. And yes, food banks are part of that and other things are in the schools and whatever. I would like to put not just ideas, I want to see people with plans and commitment and serving in this area, and that we put an agenda to it. Because this is not something that happens because, oh, we'll just say we're doing it and it's going to happen. Serving our community takes planning, takes some administrating, takes connecting. God is a God of order. He is not a God of chaos. And neither should we be when we serve the community. We should not look chaotic. We should not look like we haven't got it all together. And that's just learning to serve God well. Learning our identity, learning how to handle problems, learning to face the moment-by-moment issues of everyday life that we're going to learn about in all the different studies that we are in, because they equip us to be the best representation of Jesus to those in the community who have not yet met him. So, and I'm also, I've spoken with one other person. Our VBS format has always done us well. So I am hoping in October to put together a committee that we would do a miniature VBS during the spring break in February, and that'll take a bit of planning, and also to readdress a Hope Club, the public school age students. None of us really has kids in the public school. It's hard to get into the public school when you don't have kids in there too, right? Like the elementary school. And I'm wanting to be intentional of developing a committee and a program to make that work. Because between the three schools we have here in town, we have well over 3,000 or 4,000 kids. And none of them are in here, so unless they go to other churches, which they could, we got a whole big mission field just in our schools, in our community here. And I know we do prayer walks, I know we do all that covering. I'm looking for a team that will pray into an intentional approach to get to the, to bring Jesus to those students. Can't think of anything else at the moment. I think my announcements have thus endeth.
Thank you, Pastor Sue. I'm going to invite the worship team to return to the platform. We're going to sing this morning worship. Our theme this morning has been worship. Let's end it in worship. Let's stand together. I trust you have been more than just informed. Information is wonderful, but you got to do something with it. You may know all about your car. You may be like Rick Rota. You look at an engine and you know what every single wire does. But until you put the ignition key in the ignition slot and turn that ignition on and hear that motor rumble, you never will know what can be done. Folk, let's not just hear what's available. Let's put feet to our faith. And maybe some of you are thinking, yeah, I've been thinking about it, but I don't know. Listen, you won't know until you turn on the ignition. And see what God will do. See what God will do in your life. I'd be remiss if I forgot to mention also two other important people that are part of our team. And one is our caretaker, John Prinz, who just does a fantastic job keeping this building clean and safe and ready for us. Also Louisa, who looks after our gardens outside the building. If you'd like to also be part of that team, you can talk to Louisa. But we thank God for them. So, the challenge is up to you. What are you going to do with what you've learned today? Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in and through this church, in and through every person that's here. I thank you, Lord, for the people that you're going to bring into this church, the young people, the children, the seniors, the families. All because we've just simply stepped out in faith and believed what your word says. God, just be glorified now as we worship you in closing. Amen.